what our topic for today will be. Let's see if you can see this. I totally get past heathen on we if pray if I had as much spare time as you do. He is praying, we pray. That is what he's doing. You ever had a day start out like that? Prayed a similar prayer like this one? I love this prayer. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy, been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And then from there, I'm probably going to need a lot more help today. That's quite the prayer. And I think that the comic strip expresses it well about, have you ever had to pray like this? Lord, give me patience. Here's another comic strip and in our second slide there. It goes like this. Dear God, please give me patience, and I need it right now. Make sense? Okay. Well, perhaps on occasion you kind of feel like this guy does, and there's one more comic that I wanted to put up here. I love these comics. Every day I come here and pray for a sign, but I'm starting to think that I'm never going to get one. Okay. As you drive through town, there's a lot of signs up right now, aren't there? Well, regardless of whether this is your situation or not, I want us to spend some time discussing a topic that even I don't have a handle on. Okay? I'll be the first to tell you that. And our topic is prayer. What is prayer? Anybody go online to dictionary.com? Anybody ever use that tool besides my wife? Anybody? Okay. Some people do. Now, this is what dictionary.com has to say. Now, I don't know if I want to read all of these definitions to you, but the next slide will show you what's up there. Okay? Prayer is a devout petition to God or to another object of worship. And it goes on to say, I like number 9, don't you? Prayer is a negligible hope or chance. Yeah, sure. Okay. Sometimes you see that word prayer is used very loosely. For example, I might be tempted to say, the Maple Leafs of Toronto don't have a prayer winning the Stanley Cup this year either. You see, in that context, you might interpret the words to mean that I expect there to be a complete long shot before the Maple Leafs are even thinking about winning a Stanley Cup this year. But I think the other 29 teams are kind of praying that they win the cup too. My wife is a Leafs fan. You didn't see the game last night, did you? Okay. We're not here to talk hockey. We're here to talk prayer. But all kidding aside, I want you to turn your attention, if we can, to what Jesus has to say about prayer. We're going to look at Mark 11, and we're going to read down from verses 12 to 14 first, and then a few other verses down the way. Reads like this. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it wasn't the season for figs. He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat from their fruit from you again." His disciples heard him say that. Verse 20. In the morning, as they all went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Reading down a little further. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Wow. Now, There's some loaded conversation happening here. First of all, don't you think it's odd that Jesus cursed a fig tree? Do you think that that's a bit of an odd occurrence? Have you seen that in Scripture somewhere before? Okay. Well, it's a bit of an odd occurrence for sure. But I believe what something seems odd to us, Jesus takes as an opportunity to teach his disciples on some very valuable lessons. And likewise, those lessons apply for us today. They certainly do. On faith through prayer. So today, we're going to be talking about the topic of just some lessons on prayer. That's all we're going to look at. For example, in verse 22, what we read earlier, Jesus simply states this, have faith in God. Now, from my observation of his words, this looks like a necessary prerequisite. Have faith in God. What I mean by this is, one, why pray in the first place if I'm not going to believe it's going to happen? What if I don't expect it to happen? What happens then? It also suggests that our faith is to be placed in God only. This tells me that Jesus did not want us to think that we have done something by our own selves, by myself, to make their prayer be answered in the first place. So I go out and I say, oh Lord, I need a truck. And then I go and I foolishly spend $10,000. Probably get you a third of a truck right about now, wouldn't it? Okay. Find a truck and it's a piece of garbage. Oh Lord, you answered my prayer. Was it a good investment? And did I boast in the Lord making it happen? Or did I boast in the fact that I went ahead and, you know, sought to do things on my own? You see, there's an element of trust there, isn't there? That God alone will do the work. Verse 23, we see that the possibilities when we pray become endless. There's an odd passage in the Old Testament that is in the Psalms. It says, 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, says the Lord. We serve a God who has endless resources. That's the kind of God we serve. You see, a supernatural event, such as moving an entire mountain, well, we can't quite do that on our own. With nothing more than our own words, of course. It seems so impossible. How many of you remember the Hamilton Boulevard extension? Put your hand up. We lived on Topaz in Copper Ridge for about 10 years. That was quite the feat, wasn't it? Remember all the blasting they had to do through all the rock, and then finally, I don't know how long it took, but it was quite some time. They put the road through there. I drive up Mountain View, and I look to where the traffic circle is now. And I see this big mound of dirt, and I remember passing by there so many times and saying, you're going to put a road through there? How in the world are you going to do that? That seems impossible. Well, there's a traffic circle at the top, and there's a roadway there. Isn't that something? I couldn't see it as being possible, but somebody did. I don't know how much dynamite you feel you need to activate your spiritual life, but are you facing an impossible obstacle right now in your life that seems overbearing and weighs on your heart? What did Jesus say? Have faith in? Very simple, isn't it? Have faith in God. What seems impossible ahead of us can be made nothing. It seems as if it's nothing. We don't need to have any doubt in our hearts. After all, Jesus finishes off that verse by saying, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've already received it, and it will be yours. Don't you want to take him up on his offer? Oh, I hear an amen. There you go. Verse 24, it's restated, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. It's almost as if Jesus was trying to tell us something. What do you think? Believe it, receive it. Very simple. Good words. They almost rhyme. Believe it, receive it. There you go. That's an interesting slogan for a politician, too. Believe it, receive it. If Jesus was trying to emphasize that point to his disciples, don't you think we should get it too? I think so. You see, the same man who cast out demons rose from the dead, which is miraculous enough if you didn't believe it in the first place, went and healed people that were sick. The blind, people who were blind saw. The people who were deaf heard. Imagine someone like that walking through downtown Whitehorse. Wouldn't you give them some attention? Hey, I stubbed my toe. I need your help. This man rose from the dead, people. If he said it, we believe it. That's all we need to do. Ah, but we need to ask for it too. That's true. John 14:14. You may ask anything, you may ask me for anything in my name. I'll get it right, and I will do it. This promise is also recorded in the previous verse, along with John 15:16, John 16:23, and verse 24. I believe he wants us to go to the Father. Let's look at verse 25. We note some interesting things happening there in that section for a teaching on the disciples. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. I believe you can heal, but Lord, did you see what Joe did to me last week? He made a fool out of me in front of my coworkers. Do you really want me to forgive him as if nothing happened at all? Can't I just slap him upside the face and say, God told me to do it? Isn't that a brand of forgiveness? Interesting. Well, folks, he's not kidding when he says, forgive something against someone and then your Father in heaven will forgive you. He wasn't kidding because in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he emphasized that if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven won't forgive you your sins. That's Matthew 6:15. And sometimes I simply, when I read that, I say, ouch. I really don't feel like doing that, but I know I have to. Oh, if I want to be a Christian and say that I'm Christian and live this life, I have to. I have to forgive. I have to let go. Anybody ever been hurt by someone before? Raise your hand. Anybody still awake? Raise your hand. There we go. Our discussions on prayer, and Jesus left us some simple words. If we hold something in our heart against someone, that's not good. You know, we've all had experiences in life that are part of being human. And we all sometimes feel overwhelmed, and we feel that it is very difficult to let go and forgive. But I'll tell you one thing, God will do an amazing work in your life if you simply trust him with those words. And I know that. And I'm sure many people in the room will tell you the exact same thing. They sure will. I'm speaking from experience when I say that I've had to let go of many things over the years. And I'm kind of experiencing that even now. 1 John 1:9. My personal favorite is the King James Version of this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great? So we confess our own personal sin, forgive our brother or sister, anticipate good things happening from God above. It's scriptural, but it's so hard to do in practice and practicality, isn't it? It really is. James, the biological half-brother of Jesus, took a long time to come to faith in his heavenly older brother. But when he did realize for himself that Jesus was indeed who he said he was, because it took him a long time, outside the Bible, there are documented evidence that Jesus was acting like a lunatic, according to his brothers. James gained the nickname among the churches as Old Camel Knees. Did you know that camels even kneel? Watch this. Do they look like they're almost smiling to you? Look at them. That's cute. I want one now for Christmas. I don't know what I'd do with it, but I want one. No, she's shaking her head. No, I can't have one. Oh, dear. Those guys, they almost look like they're smiling. But here's what James said. So in the book of James, chapter 5, this is what he says. Verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Wouldn't you like to be known as a righteous person? I would. So far, we've seen that if we believe, it will be done. If you confess your sins and forgive your brother or sister against their sins, again, a request is granted. Do you need any more further proof? Watch this. An experiment done in 1983 at a large San Francisco hospital had people pray for 393 people that were sick. A control group had no one praying for them. The patients and the doctors did not know what group they were in. The people praying were born-again Christians and did not know the patients at all. Look at this for results. The ones prayed for had fewer complications, heart attacks, and pneumonia cases were dropped, okay? The study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1989, and that's noteworthy in itself. 393 sick patients were prayed for. The other patients in the control group were not. They didn't know which one was which. Guess which ones did better? The ones who were prayed for. And it's a true story. Now, perhaps many of you have an image in your mind of what prayer might look like, what it might sound like. When you think of the word prayer, you think about the great people on their knees, perhaps. But you know, this past summer, and 5 years prior to that, we went to Newfoundland. It was still the same thing. I heard the same words from the same lady. You know what she said to me? I haven't stopped praying for you and your family since you left here in 1995. And I just heard that again in July. Heather and I and the kids visited their home, or her home, and she's a very elderly lady now. It's actually a good friend of my mother's, and those are the words that she said. She's never stopped praying for us since we've left. I guess she knows what kind of trouble I would have been in over the years, right? Or trouble that I've caused, for that matter. I'm not sure. What a great blessing to hear that. But some people who come into our presence have said to me before, I don't know how to pray. In fact, praying out loud in front of people may even be something that's a little out of our comfort zone. Do you know that the disciples had the exact same conversation with Jesus? Lord, how do we pray in the first place? If you look at Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray just as your disciples, or as John taught his disciples. Now he gives us a model for prayer. Matthew chapter 6, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. This then is how you should pray, reading from about verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sound familiar? Let's try an experiment. You ready for an experiment? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
How many of you knew that prayer? How many of you heard that prayer before? And how many of you grew up with that prayer? How many of you wish that prayer was back in the schools? I hear a yes, but I don't know about amens. Okay. I grew up with that up to grade 7. And then when I went through my high school years, prayer disappeared. And we see a slow depreciation in prayer throughout our society. I remember our prayer services on Wednesday night. Boy, oh boy. Some of those people I had that I were around, they could pray. But when we go and think about prayer, we also have some instruction. You see, there were a group of people in that day that prayed for attention only. God! God, thank you for the work you've done in my life. I have accomplished so much. You have been so great and awesome, and I praise you from the bottom of my heart. Does that sound genuine to you? Oh, God, look at me. I have never sinned. You have kept me from evil. Yeah, right. God, you've blessed me so much. Today I've got a $1,000 donation. I'm kidding, I did not. I got new shoes. Who cares? My belt, I lost a size. Good work. Do you get the picture? And there are people that pray like that. You know what really happens when you pray like that? I don't know if there's a way to digitally record somebody patting their back, but you see what happens is the people were instructed to pray, and the people that knew how to pray prayed prayers. But Jesus left us some instructions. When you go and pray, do it in secret. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they stand praying in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. In other words, they're putting on an act. Truly, I tell you that they've received their reward in full, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father in heaven who's unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like pagans, for they think by their many fancy words that they will get their prayers answered. Don't be like them, for your Father knows your need before you say it. Again, can I say how awesome is our God? How great is our God? There you go. But for some of us, we still kind of don't get that idea, okay? We're looking for a magic formula on prayer. So all I can say is, prayer is a simple conversation from the heart. It's between you and God. God knows you've had a rough day. How many of you wake up with this prayer? Good morning, Lord! How many wake up with this prayer? Good Lord, it's morning! I have. You can delete that digital part that says I have. Okay. You see, prayer is necessary for the work that we're called to do. It's not my work. It's God's work. It's He who equips. I'm not here to simply be Norman. I'm here to serve. And it's the Lord who calls us and the Lord who equips us. We have some great, talented people in our church that we've been blessed to know in the past 15 years. Some of them serve on a music team. Some of them serve you coffee and you don't even know their spiritual act is hospitality. But you know what? I am blessed to be among you. But if you are looking for a formula, think of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. Maybe some of you have heard this before. Come before Him with adoration, like praise be to God. Come to Him and confess. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How about thanksgiving? Always glorify Him with thanksgiving. Or supplication. That's a big word. It means come and bring other people's needs. We don't have to just pray for ourselves. We can pray for other people. We did some of that this morning. I love Benjamin Franklin's words. Work as if you were to live 100 years, pray as if you were to die tomorrow. John Wesley said, pray as if it all depends on God, act as if it all depends on you. Isn't that interesting? For true words. The Bible has a true act of worship. It ends with worship. In the book of Revelation, there is this picture. Have you ever felt like the ceiling is your limit? You pray up. You talk to the ceiling, you beat your chest, and nothing's happening. Ever have one of those spiritual moments? Okay, so that we're all on the same length. I have too. But you know what? I love these words in the book of Revelation. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirit of God sent out into all the earth. He went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lord, before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and as if they were holding
And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. What? What does that mean, folks? You know that ceiling? Isn't that great that your prayers end up in a bowl in heaven? Now, if you think that you're not being heard, it may feel like it, but in all actuality, God's word just said you're being heard. Amen? I don't serve a deaf God. We serve a God who's alive. There's a beautiful song that we're going to just spend some time in prayer. I've talked a lot about what I call the theology of prayer, but there's nothing like practicing the knee-ology in prayer, and that is coming before God in prayer. And we're going to do that. We're going to end our service this morning by singing, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." So is your heart in turmoil? There's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. I remember struggling in college, and I remember coming to the Lord in prayer and saying, "Lord, that's it. I just am tired of messing up and doing things my own way." This is Bible college. Everything's perfect when you go to Bible college, isn't it? And so I said, "Lord, I'm just going to leave it all in your hands because I know you'll answer prayer." And then I said to the Lord, "I'm going to stop talking now. I want to hear from you." And then the fire alarm rang, and I'm not kidding. Either it was a cruel practical joke and someone was listening, but that experience will just ring forth in my mind for years. There is a place of quiet rest. And if you want to come and pray, we don't have to. We can technically end our service with this song, but we can always come before Him in prayer.